get up, I gotta get going. I'm gonna see a friend of mine. He's round and he's fuzzy, I love him because he's just Pooh Bear, Winnie the Pooh Bear. Looking for fun, chasing some honeybees. Pooh Bear, I know he's out there.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We did take a little bit of a week off. We got a throwback episode last week. You know, schedules being what they are, things happen. One of us is very, very busy, and the other two can wait. This is Knowing Isn't is the busy the podcast. Yes?
The busy one is the one who's on strike. What is happening here?
You
not
Chan,
anymore.
Chan.
Don't you read
please.
The news?
Listen, you know Gina's 10 times busier when she's not working than when she is working. Everyone knows this.
That is true.
This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Can I just say that I am happy to have a job where I can just go and sit for like 8 hours in a row and not have to like freak out about getting another job. It's wonderful. It's just the best.
Ugh.
I mean, look, I enjoy having job security at a job I greatly enjoy that's taking care of me. I think that's, I believe they call that the American dream.
That and lots of cocaine. I think that's what the American dream is made up of, as was conceived by I assume Ronald Reagan at some point.
Yeah, if you consider the fact that Dusty Rhodes, the American dream at any given time was comprised of at least 40% cocaine, I think that you're correct.
Another weird thing is a wrestling skit conceived by Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins caused his wrestling promotion to not get a deal with the CW just this week.
Wait, what was Billy? What was it? Was that Ring of Honor?
It's a whole lot of weird, mashed up pop culture icons just going to town.
I forgot he was involved in that. That's fun.
He owns the NWA, which the real NWA, but is an off, you know, a like a reimagining.
Welcome back to AE Double Back, the AEW Dynamite recap show, as it's called on our call sheet here.
Wait, what does NWA stand for in the context that you're
Gina,
talking about?
Gina, you know what it stands for. Don't make him say it.
Hold on. Actually, I just need to. Oh, right. Yes. National Wrestling Alliance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't make him say the national word.
That was a lot different than what was going on in my head when you were talking about it. None of that made sense to me. I was wondering what Ice Cube and Eazy-E and Dr. Dre were doing talking about wrestling.
I was hoping that someone who listened to the show would be as confused as apparently you, Gina, are. I thought better of you, and I was like, well, surely.
I zoned out for like a split second, and then you're talking about NWA, and I was like, All right, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Gina, just go at it. Tell us your thoughts about NWA, and be, by all means, as explicit as possible.
It's always been one of my goals for a long time was to be on an NWA show, wrestling or hip hop. I would have taken either, quite honest.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if I don't think I ever wrestled for NWA, but I maybe did. But I don't think I did. But maybe I did. Honestly, it's a 50-50 toss up.
Who can say?
I used to take notes on this stuff, but that is gone to history. Anyway, speaking of hardcore independent wrestling and gangster rap of the 90s, today we're talking about Winnie the Pooh's Thanksgiving.
Nailed it. Perfect.
Yeah. It goes hard. I was very surprised when Winnie the Pooh said fuck the police.
Yeah.
It was shocking. I mean, this is from 1998. So, I mean, he did get many updates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those words coming out of Jim Cummings' mouth, very shocking.
Look, come out of anyone's mouth is shocking.
Wow. This is the Winnie the Pooh Thanksgiving. There must have been a show attached to it around this time. I didn't look it up. I did enjoy the live action intro.
You didn't look, why don't you ever, your one job on this podcast truly is just to say what a show is and what happened in it. I mean, Chan is here to be like a lovable grump. I'm here to be the comedic relief slash token woman. All you have to do is look crap up on Wikipedia, and you don't do it.
Gina, your literal job is to look crap up on Wikipedia. I just figured I didn't want to step on your toes.
How dare you? If that was all I did, that would be a much easier job than what I actually do.
Okay, and watch a program, also a thing you're doing for this. I figure that, honestly, knowing us half the podcast, as we know, has gotten you at least 7 or 8 industry gigs. So
this was a 1998 made-for-TV special, which is a thing that they used to do back in the day, is they would just be like, yeah, slap a holiday special and they're on an existing property.
See, I told you, Gino, look it up, and I don't have to. See, this is the magic.
But then you shouldn't be in charge, is what I'm saying. You're a terrible president.
What makes you think that Ray is in charge of this whole endeavor?
Well, he's the one that tries to say what's happening in an episode, in which case you would think he's the one that knows what's happening in an episode.
That's just called a secretary. He's the one who takes the minutes.
Just because
that
I'm
is
the token,
not the power position.
Just because I'm the token white guy on the show does not mean I'm the president of the operations. Kind of racist for you to say, honestly.
You're the only one that could get elected. Chan and I both tried multiple times.
Yeah,
I wish
that
wasn't
did not turn
true,
out well.
But yeah,
people
here we
kept
are.
Saying I would vote for a Chan, but not that Chan.
Turns out I had I had closets in my skeletons. I had so many skeletons in my closet.
And the worst part is I've lived a worse life than both of you combined, and yet somehow I'm the electable one. Jeez, I can't quite put my finger on it.
I see what you did there.
I love the music of Winnie the Pooh. I grew up a mark for Winnie the Pooh. Uh-huh. I don't really watch a lot. My kids don't watch a lot. It's just sort of not part of our sphere. And there was just something very happy about it when it was on my screen.
My partner was in the other room, and I just turned it on, and I'm like, oh, you're watching Winnie the Pooh? I'm like, what? What? I don't recognize the song, so.
What?
Oh, wow. Apparently, everybody else here does. So.
I mean, here's the thing. I was a Winnie the Pooh fan, still am, still love that lovable old bear. Love his ride in Disneyland, where you eat a bunch of drugged up honey and then
Crazy.
See heffalumps and woozles trying to kill you. And then one terrifying bee escapes from your nightmare and comes back with you into the real world. It's a great ride if you haven't ridden it. There's never a line. It is fabulous. The second you get off of the line, you can go into a store that is just filled with candy. It is like every acid trip you, I don't know. I've never done acid. I assume you want candy at some point.
Every time I feel like I've gotten every Gina Disneyland tip, another one drops.
Oh. Chan, it's like right behind Splash Mountain, and it's literally like the wait will be 5 minutes. Also, the people that are like let you onto the ride, they're like very kind older people. It's a very slow, sleepy area. So half the time they'll just give you like front of the line tickets for the next time you ride the ride. it's a delight. And they always decorate the area for the holidays, and that little general store that they have there, you can watch people making like the most elaborate Rice Krispie treats or candy apples or whatever. It's a delight. Anyway, so was a Winnie the Pooh fan, am a Winnie the Pooh fan. I'm a big Kingdom Hearts, original Kingdom Hearts video game fan. And for those of you who haven't played it, you get to go into a book at some point of the 100 Acre Wood. And it's sort of like a rest area where you don't have to fight anyone, but you can do challenges like, oh, like Tigger wants you to find 30 apples in 20 seconds or whatever it is. And
can we
the
talk
whole
about how
thing,
Tigger is the most egregiously irritating character in the history of television.
Oh, I found myself identifying with him really hard.
I actually was trying
to
figure out.
Can we talk about how Ray
we
is the most egregiously irritating?
Yeah. When I was watching this, I was trying to figure out like which one of us at first I was like, oh, I'm Tigger because I love things and I'm energetic. And then I was like, oh no, but then that leaves no one for Ray. So he can be the stupid one that ruins everything.
No, this is pretty obvious, please. Now, obviously I'm Rabbit. I'm the one trying to make order of things. I'm the one who actually does the research.
No, Rabbit is known for being a smart, hard worker who like constantly works and loves
to work. Look at Gina trying to identify herself.
No, I don't identify with Rabbit. I identify with fucking Beaver, who's always like,
I see that.
He's a gopher. We'll miss. I'm a super fan of this bullshit.
You've been outvoted. It's a beaver. It's 2-1. It's a beaver.
Also,
but I'm a girl, so he's a beaver.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure he's a coked out Wall Street bro.
That's fair.
But
that is fair.
Like, if we have to go with like who is the type A control freak here? Gina is definitely Rabbit.
I could see Rabbit. I'm basing it off of like the larger Pooniverse.
Stop. No. 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 I reject this.
The PCU. You know, you've been outvoted on Pooniverse.
Oh, anyway, to finish my thought earlier, the whole song is scored under the video game section, and it's just a delightful video game. Kingdom Hearts.
Now wait a minute.
100 Acre Wood section.
We didn't actually need to say out loud who Chan is, right? Like we already know.
I don't know. I actually think Eeyore is like even too depressed, even for Chan. I think he's like an odd combo of Owl and Eeyore. I think this would be better if we're all two characters. I think Chan is...
Oh, God. Is this one of those, like, mid-2010s BuzzFeed articles? You're a combination of these two blankety blanks.
Yeah, you have to pick one Sex and the City character and one Winnie the Pooh character.
I hated those
I'm
more
a
than
Miranda
anything.
And an owl.
And a white
man.
I feel like Eeyore is an earlier iteration of me. If you had met me, you know, say in like my mid-30s.
I could see that.
So when I met you.
I could see that. You know what? This version of Eeyore, I gotta say, was more eye-rolly than OG. Like OG Eeyore was like, really happy to be included, but like always assumed he was only included out of pity. Like his whole thing was like, thanks for noticing me. Thanks for looking at me. Thanks for dropping food on the floor for me. Like he wasn't, but this Eeyore is like so disgusted by Tigger did he develop this attitude? Like he used this to just be depressed. Listen. Now he's like depressed and angry.
This is where the show really sung to me because the Tigger and Eeyore scenes reminded me so much of me and Chan podcasting together for the last like 150 years that to me was just like, yes, this is exactly what it's like.
So you wreck shit and Chan size?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's about it.
Trax, just saying. Now, a couple things here. There's a weather vane that would normally say north, south, east, west, but it says P-O-O-H.
Loved
and I'm just wondering what those letters stand for.
I love that every poo like starts with, I love the visual of going inside a book. Winnie the Pooh
has sort
of always done this since it was based off of a children's book.
What?
That A.A. Milne read to his son.
That's not a real name. No, please.
Wait, how do you know so little about Winnie the Pooh? This is a very famous...
Everybody knows American Airlines Milne wrote Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, noted English writer, American Airlines.
Yeah, everybody knows this. The big question coming into it, honestly, and I have to derail everything for a minute. Have we all seen the horror movie Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
No.
That is directly related to what we're watching right now, now that he's in the public domain. They had this
now that
very
A. Milne's
cheap movie
version is in public domain, not the red shirt, which is like what always shows up in the copyright things, like oh yeah, the iconic red shirt. It's weird. Yeah. I feel like he doesn't last long on the Enterprise.
There's a lot of really weird like facts about Winnie the Pooh, like the fact that he's banned in China. Partially for indecency, but mostly because he looks like their leader, Xi Jinping, or I forget his full name.
Xi Jinping.
No, Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping.
I got two out of three words, and as Meatloaf once said, two out of three ain't bad.
I mean, somehow so, you made a found a way to make it racist.
How did I possibly? That is his name. I did not name the man.
No, you didn't. You didn't get his name right either.
I didn't get it right either. I didn't get his. Yeah, I didn't name him correctly. So basically, first off, the horror movie. Don't. I did it so you don't have to. Don't do it. It's not worth your time. It is very lazy. It's a very lazy movie that could have had a lot of fun with the premise and chose instead not to. And as far as Winnie the Pooh being banned everywhere, that's just hilarious.
Indeed.
It's just hilarious. But why does Winnie the Pooh love Thanksgiving? Now, I love that Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. I've been on the record many times as saying that. If I was to create my own holiday, as I've said before, here's a holiday where you eat too much, you drink too much, and you watch Detroit Lions football. Like, if I was designing a holiday, this is the holiday I would design.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Winnie the Pooh's entire identity revolves around how he just wants to eat constantly, take naps, and hang out. Like, that's all there is to Winnie the Pooh. So that clearly his holiday would be Thanksgiving.
So wait a minute. We didn't say Gina was Winnie the Pooh. We didn't put that together because it sure sounds based on those three facts alone.
That's what I was saying. I was going to say, like, I'm kind of like part Winnie the Pooh and part beaver or rabbit or whatever, whoever the high functioning organized ones are. It seems like it's both of them. But also at some point, like, fucking Gopher is like making pie and he's like putting all sorts of shit into it. And I was like, that sounds good. But
and then he goes like, again, like a Coke fiend. He's like, how am I going to deal with this pumpkin? I will blow it up like a goddamn Rambo or a 7-year-old child with M80s.
No, he wants to be very efficient to maximize his profitability.
And well, how efficient is it to explode a goddamn pumpkin? He's scraping stuff off the walls.
He's not doing it in his house. He's doing it in Rabbit's house.
Fair. And my first question here is, why are they celebrating Thanksgiving? I thought all these characters were British.
It is very funny that he's talking to Christopher Robin and he's like, Christopher Robin, you coming to Thanksgiving? And he's like, I wonder if I should come to Thanksgiving. I surely shall.
Well, I mean, there you go. He doesn't know what the fuck this bear is talking about. He's like, yeah, sure. I'm going to come to your thanks, Gervers. What? Okay. Sure. Oh, there's food. Cool. Yeah, I'm here.
They sing a song too, and if I could get a little bit of audio of this song, Pooh sings all about Thanksgiving, and I'm going to warn everybody in advance, it's not a banger. This is not a banger on any stretch of the imagination.
And it doesn't have to be a banger, it's a delight.
It's not a banger.
Yeah, the songs are nothing in this show is intended to, like, get you hype.
Yeah, but it's a delight. It's a goddamn, like, soothing delight. It's like a cup of tea.
Gross.
Hooray, hooray, today is the day to give thanks for giving and give thanks away. Thanks to trees, thanks to bees. Oops, I almost forgot. Thanks for the honey in my honey pot. Hooray!
Let me just say, nobody's walking around singing that. Like, that is not a banger.
Yo, if that doesn't make you smile, there is something wrong with you. I'm not saying it's a banger, but if it doesn't make you smile, you're a serial killer. At that point, we lived in the future,
and at that point, I expect a little more out of my Winnie the Pooh songs. If you told me that song was from, like, 1963, I'd be like, okay, good enough. But in 98, Mark Mothersbaugh should have written something. I'm just saying.
No,
I want
the vibe
more.
Of Winnie the Pooh. No.
Jesus
no.
Christ.
The vibe of Winnie the Pooh is timeless. They purposely don't do shit of a time period because they're set in the Hundred Acre Woods, which exist outside of time and space.
So, like, the he who remains.
None of the Infinity
can't touch
Stones
them.
Are going to work in the Hundred Acre Woods.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. The temporal loom. The temporal loom in the Hundred Acre Woods is breaking down, and shit's about to pop off.
That was a really awkward attempt.
It's a nice try, Chan. Now, Gina's watched all six. I've watched the first five, and we'll watch the sixth one soon. And you're like two seasons behind. And there's only two seasons. Yeah. Oh, look at you.
No, I'm only two episodes. I'm up to episode four. So
awesome. Now, everyone brought something to their Thanksgiving. It's a very impromptu Thanksgiving. So Owl brought some biscuits. Piglet brought, what, acorns? Beaver brought some lemonade. Tigger brought some, what, chocolate ice cream?
Uh-huh.
And then Rabbit comes and shits all over everything that they're doing. And as they said in Falcon and Winter Soldier, he's out of line, but he's right.
Yeah, I mean, some of these, like, it's a great thought. Like, Pooh has his honey. Donkey brings thistles.
Was it Shrek all of a sudden? Did I miss something?
I forget.
To be fair, friggin' Tiger Boy is all like, hey, Donkey Boy.
I was very uncomfortable. It sounds pejorative. As well. But I'm uncomfortable most of the time.
I think that Rabbit should have gone in and been like, hey, this is a really great start. We're going to need some main dishes instead of just acorns and thistles.
Why isn't he doing it then? He's like, I'll make the decorations.
It's called leadership.
Because he needs to
organize.
You
need a CEO to call his friends and call that working.
Team needs an organizer.
While you guys put together all the stuff. Thank you.
I mean, also his decorations are cool.
And what's going on right now? Because I realize what time of day, because he says we're going to meet back here at like noon. No one's watching the Lions game. This is garbage.
At noon,
This is nonsense. They're missing the best part of Thanksgiving.
Ugh. This is why I reject your invitation to Thanksgiving.
Gina, you reject
this is why I reject
my,
your
no, hold on.
Invitation
you
to
reject
Thanksgiving,
my
right?
my invitation to Thanksgiving because you found somewhere better to go. You don't need to sugarcoat it, Gina.
I was invited someplace first, and they're not a football crew. I would always rather celebrate with a non-football crew.
Man, I hope they spring football on you. I hope your entire fantasy football league shows up and is like, let's watch some football. Gina's the greatest. Let's learn pearls of wisdom from her.
Yes to that, first and foremost. Second off, in 1998, that was the famous coin toss game between the Steelers and Lions, where the Steelers claims he called tails, but he went like, tails, and the referee said, oh, that counted as heads. And then it was tails, and the Lions scored and won the game, and we won 19-16.
What?
I'm just saying, the 100 Acre Woods gang missed a banger of a football game. They could have learned from that and written better songs. It was awesome.
That sounds real stupid.
It's fine.
There's only two people who listen who even remotely have a chance of understanding what I'm talking about here.
It's done.
Delvin, I'm kind of leaning on you here, I hope. It's going to happen or it's not. So God bless us all.
Delvin, if you don't know, it's okay. You don't need to be beholden to raise terrorism.
And Gina, nobody comes over until after the
terrorism.
Lions game is over. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't even know
exactly
what you're talking about. Oh.
I watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which I have done every year since I came out of a vagina, and I will continue to do
every
so.
Every Thanksgiving.
You'll continue to come out of a vagina?
Yeah, I gotta find my way out eventually. I can't be trapped here anymore, you guys.
They can't possibly be watching football because Rabbit is giving one a hell of a TED talk. Like, he's got his slides.
Also, they're in England. Do they have football in England?
They do.
They in fact play NFL games in London. And they'd start at 6:30 a.m. our time. And it's delightful. If you have a kid who's going to get you up at 6:30 on a Sunday morning anyway, it's delightful. Yeah.
Fair.
It's honestly wonderful. No, I'm excited.
That makes sense.
Dude, we know.
I mean, it's that we or Caillou. So yeah, take what you can get.
So one of the things here is interesting because, you know, Rabbit has a full plan to make Thanksgiving a holiday of quality, and I'm on board. The weird part to me is that he sends a sentient bear and a sentient pig into the forest to find and murder a sentient turkey.
Yep.
No, there are creatures in the wood in the Hundred Acre Woods that the all of the Winnie the Pooh characters are based off of A.A. Milne's son's stuffed animals. Mm-hmm. But within the woods, there are still
and they like will
birds
murder one
and things like
and
that
stuff
that don't
it.
Talk.
Uh huh. And so talking is your benchmark for
hide your dogs.
Whether a creature should live or die.
Well, what the hell are you guys eating?
Talking English, moreover.
What do you two eat on Thanksgiving? Because I ate pasta for the first like 20 years of my life on Thanksgiving.
Very upsetting. It's definitely on point, you know, for Gina
Ippolito. No, it was delicious. Listen, don't force your American shit on Italian relatives.
Yeah,
like, I'm saying I said my Italian
first
relatives.
First generation American. Mm-hmm.
That's why I said relatives.
That makes you an American.
My dad was first generation.
I don't understand wanting to be around relatives at Thanksgiving
relatives
time. That's
not
just
understand.
Not a thing I do. It's a thing. It's a choice. No, I had enough of that.
Not a huge fan either. Yeah. As soon as I found out there was a thing called Friendsgiving, I was like, deuces.
Yeah, I would rather choose the people
go
I hang around
with people
with
I enjoy being
than
with.
Be with your old racist drunkle. Nobody wants that.
Oh.
Nobody wants to be around your one uncle who
that's
has no problem saying that word in front of you in the dinner table. No. I'm just a drunkle. To be fair, I have
here?
A racist drunkle.
Yeah,
who
probably.
Will do that. And I was told afterwards he knows that there's lefties and he's trying to provoke a reaction. And I say, this is why I have Thanksgiving with friends, everybody.
Just for the record, I am extending my family
out of
tradition
my house, you're not,
of
God
watching
damn it.
Mamma Mia on Thanksgiving.
Oh,
yeah,
going,
see, that's a great tradition.
Going to the Pantages to watch it live.
Guys, I am sorry I am coughing
that's
so much today.
Tradition.
I was with my kid at soccer practice, and for the last soccer practice of the year, for the last 10 minutes, they're like, okay, parents, get in there and play. And this was an hour and a half ago,
what?
And my
no.
lungs have still not caught up with
oh, that's
10
great.
Minutes of physical activity of me playing soccer.
What the hell? I literally just texted my brother today to be like, hey, let's get like the nieces and nephews and all do the
turkey trot
run
like
through town 5K
that,
and the Santa
that...
run 5K.
No, that's what happens when you eat too much turkey and you have to go sit
been
on the
there.
Toilet. It's the turkey
that's
trots.
The one problem with having a one bathroom household, especially on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Mm.
Yeah,
yep,
it sucks.
Ew, you only have one bathroom for
yeah, that's
four
why we're looking
you?
At
wow.
getting a bigger house with more bathrooms.
Build another one, dude.
I mean, to be fair, not all of them stand up to pee. In fact, not all of them stand
point.
Up at all. So I have
I'm
four.
Just saying, I live alone. I live alone and I have three
that's
bathrooms. The cats get their own. Mm-hmm. I never use it. Mm-hmm. Their litter box is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two others.
That's a little
one toilet
borrow
has
it?
Literally
can
never
we just
been
like
used in my apartment.
It out, drop it in my house.
Why?
Is that a thing we can do? Anyway, so I apologize for all the coughing. This is how redonkulously out of shape I am. Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Yeah,
I've lost 10
go for a jog every once in a while,
months.
You fatty.
That is a fact. That is a true statement. Yes, and I'm very excited about it. But
have
I am
you?
Still
that's good.
Grossly more overweight than I wish to be, and clearly more out of shape than I'm comfortable with, given that I remember how life used to be.
Yeah, once a year, the pictures roll around at the time I did the half marathon. I'm like, whew, that was...
I'd say those wrestling pictures of
Achilles
me,
now.
The years keep getting longer and longer since those things happened. And it's not does not make me happy on any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, you can fix it. It's very easy to fix.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like
if you think I'm getting back in the ring,
doable anymore.
You might be right. Never say never. I'm only waiting on one request from Joey Clift. If I get it, we're getting back in there, baby. That's about what it would take, though.
I think Joey Clift would kick your ass, to be honest.
He can do some stuff.
I think he's in better shape. I think he would just dance around the ring until you were too
true.
Exhausted.
Look,
I'm not saying I
would be the most mobile wrestler at this point, but that makes me tougher. Nobody knocked down the Iron Sheik at the end of his career. Let me just put it that way. All of them.
Hey, he won all of his matches.
Yeah, he had to win the battle
royal. Over the top
the gimmick
rope
battle royal because nobody wanted him to be the one to kill him by putting him over the top rope. Welcome back to AE Double Back. It's still written as our Chiron, so I'm still. Anyway, that is correct. We own
that
it
means
now.
That any money that they make, we now make.
That Rabbit sends Piglet and Pooh into the woods to find and murder a turkey, and he gives them a sack. He gives them a sack to bring the bloody carcass back to the table with.
That's how you did it in old days in the woods,
no,
man. Have you ever watched Robin Hood?
No. A sack is for kidnapping. The plan was not to murder them out in the woods. The plan was to get a turkey, bring it back alive so that they can murder it in front of the entire party.
Oh, man. And worst part is they don't know what a turkey
here to
is.
Make it easier on
so
you.
So they could come back with any living creature. And they would be accurate.
That's a problem. In fact, they do.
I was expecting them to come back with Christopher Robin.
I mean, I don't know about accurate
with
but,
this. It is upsetting. I'm sorry. I love me some Winnie the Pooh, but this murder undercoat is a little sad.
But they never actually get it. Like, if they got it, it would be disturbing, but they never get it.
Look, it's not actual murder. It's attempted murder. That's basically not a crime.
It isn't. If
Winnie the Pooh stalking
living
creatures with murderous intent is not the same thing as actually killing something. No, it's somehow more horrifying.
This is someone coming to, like, NASA with a van full of fertilizer bomb. And like, oh, dang, my cell phone trigger didn't work.
I'm a landscaper.
Work.
I'm a landscaper.
So it's cool. I can just go, right? All right. See y'all later.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
It's me, my best friend.
Hi, Boo. He heard me.
Hello, friend.
Having a chat with Chat Pals.
New food Chat Pals talk and hear you.
I see around me something blue. Can you see it?
It's my shirt.
Oh, how clever you are.
Chat Pals talk with each other, too.
What's Tigger's favorite time of year? Sink, sink, sink. Spring, of course.
Chat Pals joke and play games, too. Me and my best friend, Boo.
And you.
New food Chat Pals talk and hear you and each other, each sold separately.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
You know, this is some good. These pairings are some good writing, like getting the hyperactive Tigger paired with the depressive Eeyore. Great. Winnie the Pooh is always paired with Piglet because Piglet is very easily coerced into things. And Pooh enjoys that for his sidekick. Owl being by himself because he just keeps a running Kelsey Grammer-esque thing.
Niles.
I'm like, oh my, I do enjoy a good spot of tea. Would you care for some? At some point he literally says, would you care for some tea, Owl? Yes, I would, Owl.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh.
By that time, I was like, like the party had broken up. They're like, oh, Thanksgiving's ruined. And they all go to their individual places to like be sad and shit. And then they cut to Al, and Al's like, he's like totally fine. He's like, cool, man. I'm going to hang out here and play Tecmo Bowl or something. And yes, the only way to bring him down is like some outside forces, like shattering his
I'm glad that you're catching up. Great job.
Yeah.
I don't want you to think you can make that. Okay. I just didn't want you to think you could make that reference week and have it pass. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Sorry. Continue your thought.
All right. Yeah. Gina, you got to catch up. I don't know what.
Are we talking Super Tecmo Bowl 60s or NES? Because I play that.
No, it was a reference earlier. You should watch For All Mankind. It is a wonderful, wonderful show.
Well, I started watching the pilot after you guys said this last time.
Well, okay. Well, good for you. Yeah, that's it.
Look, do you know how much shit I have to watch in a day? I've been working on a Marvels video since 8 a.m. I've been working on a Loki video since 6 p.m.
How many episodes of Supernatural have you watched in between those?
Oh, no. God, I'm rewatching America. All of House now.
Wow.
I'm up to season 4.
Supernatural, I could live with.
I just used it in a pitch today.
Oh, my God. You could get BritBox and watch.
Procedurals are very comforting.
Yeah. So you get BritBox and you watch like Shakespeare and Hathaway, which is a delightful
Shakespeare
procedural.
With Anne
Hathaway. You watch some like cozy British mysteries.
Okay, great. I would watch that. Yeah.
I'm going to say yes, and we can just move on.
Anyway, now that I've derailed absolutely everything, what is this apron that Owl is wearing in the kitchen? It is pink and frilly, and I don't know. I'm about to say that it seems out of character for Owl.
What are you about to say next? Wear this apron.
It seems like a strange choice.
I feel like he wears that on the regs.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So far, you've managed to insult all of China.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even anti-gay.
Have some weird anti-gay.
This is what's
going to
get me in trouble.
Was
my same
Owl's
thought about Duke in that Vegas episode of Sigma Six, and they suddenly put him in some Ken looking stuff, and I just don't think he would wear that.
And
you're trying to fix it.
I don't think Owl is a character who would
the
dress
pink
and frilly.
Pink and frilly.
No, 100%. This is Ray going. Man, why do I want to fuck that owl now? Oh, you know what? No. This apron is wrong. It's how dare he put that on? No. He is flaunting God's laws with his sexy,
first off, Chad,
sexy
it's not, no,
round
you got totally
owl
wrong.
Butt.
It's, why do I want to get fucked by owl? Second. Second off, whatever else you said, I'm sure. I don't know. To me, it is a strange costume. It is a clear costuming choice that in my mind doesn't fit the character. And I am willing to be canceled over this take. How dare you?
You don't know dick about Owl. About Owl. We said that Chan was part Owl.
Okay, I can see Chan
and
wearing
I can see
that.
Chan
sure.
wearing
That's
this.
Different.
You picture me just like Owl, wearing that apron with the little red tie and nothing else, don't you, Ray?
Yes, I do.
Just like Owl.
I could lie about it, but at this point, I'm already in too deep. Moving forward, this is where Beaver blows up the pumpkins in order to fully process them. Now, he's making a pumpkin pie concoction, and he adds a jalapeno and turmeric, and this melts the spoon when he stirs it. What else is in this? Like toxic ooze? Like what is happening here? Is that how peppers work?
No, he put such hot peppers in it.
In 1988, I would have bought that saying jalapeno, just like, a little bit of jalapeno, stirring the spoon would melt it because like, oh my God, that's so spicy. But even by 1998, you're not just going to put a little jalapeno in and be like, oh, my mouth is on fire. You'd be like, Yeah, that's Diablo sauce, motherfucker.
That is a delicious sauce, to be fair.
Taco Bell all the time.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Much like jokes about chopsticks being something that we cannot comprehend in our lives, jokes about jalapenos being too spicy, it's for a different era. It just doesn't really play anymore.
That is the whole point of fucking
that
Winnie
they make old,
the
old dated
Pooh.
References?
What don't you understand about it? I told you already. It exists outside of time and space. They're not going to make your TikTok jokes or your Threads jokes or whatever you want. They're going to make jokes that are the same from 1962 to 1992.
This is not a show that uses these kind of gags particularly often. So when he puts a jalapeno in, jalapenos melting spoons, that seems extreme to me.
Gopher just exploded a pile of goddamn gourds. That's why I'm saying that he seems like an 80s Wall Street bro. And also, given that it's, I honestly thought it was like late 80s. And the fact, now that I know that it's 1998, this is straight up extreme poo. X-T-R-E-M-E-P-O-O.
This is as extreme as Winnie the Pooh gets. I
guess
think you are.
Let's throw another
to
X
be fair,
in there.
I'm hearing what you're both putting down. And I don't love it, but I do. I am understanding it better now as a direct result. Winnie the Pooh needs a trap to get a turkey. Just he makes that decision. Like, let's bring the turkey to us instead of us going to get the turkey. Great. Cut back to our favorite duo, Tigger and Eeyore. They're cranberry picking. And Tigger doesn't know that blueberries exist, which I thought is strange.
And you know what? Here's how you know that I'm Eeyore. If I saw him going like, oh, what are these crazy blueberries? I know that blueberries are delicious. I'm just going to watch him go like, you fucking nerd. And we're going to spend all this time like picking like cranberries or whatever the fuck else. He's going to get those like
weird
berries in the trees that like birds eat, but make you sick if you try and eat them.
Did they not paint some berries red so they could collect them at some point? Like, it's amazing. And I just wrote here,
Alice in Wonderland.
What me working with Robert Clark Chan is like. I just wrote the note right in the moment. I was just like, I understand. I understand what's happening here 1,000%.
Mm hmm. And
there are a couple of Alice in Wonderland nods throughout this. When he paints the berries red, that's an Alice in Wonderland nod. When Rabbit later on takes out a pocket watch that's exactly the same as the White Rabbit's pocket watch, and he's like, oh my, they're going to be late. There's a couple of fun ones in there.
I wouldn't go so far as to call them fun.
Sorry, Chan, go ahead.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, that's fine. No, I'll allow it. Eeyore, seeing the hole in the bag and going, yeah, this is going to be more work. I'm not going to tell anybody about this.
And the thing is that, they would have still had berries if Tigger hadn't been bouncing around, because they're both carrying berries. Eeyore's bag has a hole, so they're dropping out of his bag, but the other one is just jumping around
problem for one of them,
and spilling his berries
everywhere. And
the other
one is the problem. Yep.
Yes, correct.
Whatever you'd say. Self-inflicted. There we go. So we cut back to Pooh and Piglet. They are now digging a hole, and they dig straight down to dig this trap hole, and then realize they dug it so deep they can't get out. Cut back to Tigger and Eeyore. This is where we see the lost cranberries. The sack is a hole. Everybody loses everything. Cut back to Pooh and Piglet. They get out of the hole somehow. We don't really just discover how. They just sort of get out. And then they themselves grab the dropped cranberries. This is really some Rashomon stuff happening right now. It's fantastic. I haven't seen storylines cross each other this exquisitely since Reclaim Detroit, episodes 1-5, currently available wherever you podcast or on YouTube.
Now... No, also, I don't think you've seen Rashomon either. I don't think you know what it's about. I don't think you know the trope.
This is much more, much less Rashomon and much more an episode of Frasier, where they all go off to do different things and then they come together at the end. But I could see
That's the second Kelsey Grammer reference we've had.
Indeed. Well, I'm trying to explain things to Ray in a way he'll understand.
And you went with Frasier, the notoriously highbrow intellectual comedy.
You know what show I never got into?
It's Frasier.
Ray probably has never understood in his life.
You know what movie you clearly never understood?
It's like one person drops some berries, so. Another one
except the berries.
They both have different stories about it. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely would like to know what you think Rashomon is.
He explained it. He just did. And it sounded like a joke, but I'm pretty sure that it's not.
There's one main feature of Rashomon or a Rashomon style story, and he has not touched on it at all.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Speaking of which, our hero Tigger immediately, once he sees the problem, starts the gathering all over again. And wouldn't you know it, somebody has scattered cranberries all over the road. How exciting. What a break. This is where we cut back to Pooh and Piglet.
What a break.
Something or someone has, I just heard like, somebody fell in the hole. No, hold on. They set up a rope trap with the sack. But they dug a hole a moment ago. They never set up a rope trap, but somebody is trapped in their rope trap. I had a really hard time with this narrative.
Mm-hmm. They got stuck in the hole. They had to dig their way out of the hole. The hole was ruined.
That's a different trap. Well, we never saw them set up plan B
because plan A clearly doesn't work. Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a 3-hour friggin' epic film where we get to delve into?
Don't have them dig the hole if the hole isn't going to factor into any other part of the story.
No, it did. They got stuck in the hole, and then we see them later on being like, ugh. After they've dug themselves out of the hole,
they got stuck in it. We know
it wouldn't work.
But we never saw them set up this sack trap with the tree. That's what it should have been about. And then catch Piglet in the rope or something. And okay, we get it. Like, that's a better bit. And it ties into the actual story. Maddening these choices. It's not the first time,
you're
Gina,
confused
or the 10th,
by a
or the 100th, and it won't be the last.
6-year-old. Explain the whole
one
part
guy
of
gets
Rashomon,
stuck in a hole
where they get stuck in
and then everybody
the hole.
Has a different story about him getting stuck in the hole where the cranberries are. 7 of them do.
Do samurais like cranberries?
So somebody's in the sack. Apparently I just wrote here, where is this rope trap? Where did this come from? No. Who knows? They got the sack. They assume it's a turkey. They don't look inside. Let's go back to Rabbit's house because it's time. We got a very, very hot pie, nuclear hot pie, quite honestly. Owl is carrying far too many dishes, sky high. Pooh and Piglet bring a sack with something very angry in it. Oh, spoiler alert, it's Tigger and Eeyore.
Here's the thing. I enjoy the bit where since Pooh and Piglet don't know what a turkey is and they just see a drawing that's not to scale, that like kind of does look scary. I enjoy this plot point where they're like obviously they're not going to look in that bag. They've spent this entire journey sort of being afraid that they will even see a turkey. So I appreciate this. I think that this speaks to kids who just are like afraid of shit.
Or like
they
normal
don't know.
Kids
like,
are afraid of
like
having to
crappy
murder
kids
something.
Kids are afraid of everything. So like But and then also I will say owl carrying too many plates really speaks to me on a level of I would rather my arms go completely numb by the time I get back to my apartment door being loaded down by four grocery bags instead of making a second trip. So I get this. I get that he's like, I can do this in one trip. Everything will be fine.
We have multiple IKEA bags in the car and I will carry 200 pounds worth of groceries just so I don't have to go back for a second load.
Exactly.
Okay, listen, I understand I get this. I will not make two trips from the car with my groceries. It turns out.
Are we all owls?
No, because Owl is an intellectual and he reads a lot of books. And there's one of us who I'm not even sure can read.
Or watch movies, apparently.
But it is also I guarantee you Owl has seen every Kurosawa movie than both of you.
And has probably a pretty decent take on each one.
Possibly. I'll put it on the table. That makes me an owl.
Possibly.
Everything is destroyed. Yes.
Hold on. I just need to know what you're wearing when you wash those dishes.
Don't make me say it out loud.
Please. All right. Well, I'm just going to picture it in my head.
Everything is destroyed. I don't even know how we get to the point where the hot pie gets launched in the air and they try to catch it, but it like Tigger immediately slams into him like an NFL linebacker and destroys the pie.
Yeah.
The dishes it's fly and they all shatter. Like things are on fire. The table's flipped over. There's a level of mayhem that happens here that I cannot comprehend how, and I watched it and I still don't understand how this, it was a little bit like watching the movie Hot Fuzz or Hot Fuzz is a fun little comedy action movie that suddenly has some of the most ripping over the top violence you would ever imagine that does not fit what the movie is.
That's the whole point of those movies. Haven't you never read an Edgar Wright interview about those movies? The whole point is that they're skewering genre tropes.
I understand
and
that.
Over the top violence and chaos.
To my memory,
is one
have
of
violence
them.
To the level
one
of Hot of Fuzz things. In it. Just saying.
I don't think
anyway,
he did.
I don't know how we got here, but there is literally like smoking craters. Everyone's knocked over. It's like a bomb hit the 100-acre wood. And we're just left with Rabbit looking around. And he is correctly depressed that he tried to do something nice. And his friends jacked everything up on the cusp of victory.
This is what happens when you are a control freak.
It also happens if you're a normal
that
person
is the
too.
Lesson
Chad.
We must
Let
take
me
away
just
from
tell
this.
You.
To be clear, to be fair, they each make
it's fair
many terrible.
I'm
mistakes.
Depressed in this moment watching it. Everyone's depressed. I'm sad. Winnie the Pooh's Thanksgiving is making me sad that we can't have nice things.
It's honestly, it's weird because normally the flow of this sort of thing is you have your big farcical climax where everything goes wrong and things go flying, people fall into pies, and then everyone looks around and goes like, oh, but the important thing is we're together. And, you know, someone gives a speech about how wonderful, you know, it's not about the food, it's about the friends. But this one, I don't know. It honestly feels a little like filler. Like we've got four more minutes to fill. We can't just cut to everybody being like, oh, well, let's have fun anyway. It's like, okay, everybody go home and
sit in this moment
do
for far
thing?
Longer than I'm comfortable with. Of course.
Oh, I love it. I love that they're all like depressed and they can't really have a good Thanksgiving until they realize like,
so
wait a minute,
gathers
we're being
everyone
dumb.
For lame Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. The original thing they were going to do with acorns and honey and chocolate ice cream. That was cool. Tigger honestly is the A+. Yeah. So what? It's delicious.
It's melted.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I'm sorry.
Best
you mean
thing
it's ice cream soup?
Better than acorns. Is that what you said? Put that out there.
No, Al brought fucking freshly baked rolls. You're telling me you
listen,
want
Gina,
melted
Tigger
chocolate
brought
ice
the
cream
best
instead
thing
of freshly
to
baked
this
rolls?
Thanksgiving, and I think we can all agree. Oh, come on.
Pooh
he
brought
honey,
honey
that he's dipped his hand
in. So now
in.
You have
please,
freshly baked rolls
that honey.
And honey.
Thank you.
We're lucky if that's all he's dipped into that honey. Covered. That dude has honey all over his body, and it's concerning.
Also Beaver brought
all over
freshly,
the table after spilling his own glass.
Lemonade.
Like,
that's
wait,
delicious.
He brought enough for himself. He brought a 2-pack of Coke Zero, and wouldn't you know it, he drank both of them. I do not respect Beaver for the lemonade.
Ew.
I mean, that's also what Eeyore did, too. He, like, specifically was like, I brought a bunch of thistles, but no one's going to like them, so I'm going to eat them. Which, respect. I mean, I got no problem with that. When I bring beer to a party, I'm like, I brought beer that I will drink.
That explains all the white claws that keep showing up and staying at my house. God bless it. Is this dinner for Thanksgiving worse than Charlie Brown's Snoopy Thanksgiving? I say yes. I say yes.
I mean, I'm looking at the picture right now.
Pretty good. That's pretty
there
good.
There is a cornucopia, which is pretty great. Uh-huh. There's the honey. There's, is that pumpkin? Oh, no, that's, there's a huge ass pie, which looks dope. There's the lemonade. There's a banana. I don't remember who
they're
brought a
banana. Their own thing and being together and like, you know, listen, I get that you two crave your TikTok jokes or whatever it is of the times that you want. But this special had food, it had hijinks, and it had the cast realizing the true meaning of a holiday. So I am declaring this
a new
holiday classic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 1998. I don't know how new that counts.
New holiday classic for us. We'll watch it every year.
You know what? This is a solid ass Thanksgiving special, especially given that we have seen some Thanksgiving specials, which are a lot harder to do than a Christmas special or a Halloween special.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was chill.
I
and I watched it. And I'm
it's
like, yeah, this
good,
is nice.
But we've seen far worse. We've seen far worse. BC's Thanksgiving
You're
is the worst
good.
Thing we've ever seen.
I could imagine putting this on in the background on Thanksgiving Day while I'm like making some food and just want something nice and relaxing on in the background until people get there. That's what I would do with this.
There is another song
in the background
to take us out. Basically
the
Friendsgiving song. Chan, maybe we could hear a little bit of the second song. First one, notably not a banger. Maybe the second song does better, though. Maybe the second song really, like, gets us in the right spirit for Thanksgiving. Well, I don't...
There's, like, four songs in this thing. What are you talking about?
Friends in every way, make each and every day all Thanksgiving Day.
There's so much more than more here. It's altogether true. And being all together is the best.
Not a banger.
Thing
also
to
not
do.
A banger. No.
You know, yeah. Not a banger. But it's fine. It's fine.
Thank
if they,
you.
If they
would have
replaced that song with the Star Blazers theme, I would have given this thing an A plus.
I mean, yeah. But you could say that about literally
you know
any
what?
Thanksgiving
this is the
special.
The question we ask at the end of
made,
every Thanksgiving
would
special.
That, so.
Would this be improved by the addition of the Star Blazers theme song? Yeah, I think this is a new staple of Knowing It's Half the Podcast.
Going forward.
Moral of the story, they have each other. Yawn. Mm-hmm. They have a crappy Thanksgiving. They missed the Lions game. It was real. That was real. Again, a real banger. And yeah, Winnie the Pooh's Thanksgiving. This is the not as often seen Gina and Chan versus Ray episode, apparently. I absolutely
well, you didn't
understand.
It's a great
it,
just like
holiday.
You don't understand Rashomon.
I'm just not part of the group that celebrates it. So how it's a very famous holiday. Rashomon's a lot of people take holiday, the day dude. Off for Rashomon.
Well, I mean, like some people do, then other people are like, you didn't take the day off. And the other person's like, I saw him at Dave and Buster's. And I'm like, he was definitely working.
I took
though.
The day off. No, I was gathering cranberries.
That's how that Rashomon joke all holds. Goes.
Anyway, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast. You can find us online at facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. We are going to be getting to some more of your suggestions here. We only have so much time and so much room to do them all, but please keep sending them. I do appreciate it. We did bump some November suggestions. We'll probably bump those to early 2024. And sorry about that, but no, I suggested this. I'm the one who put this on the table.
Wait, did someone because the suggest two things we were going to
watch,
episode?
The two episodes we were going to watch in the last two episodes were not holiday themed at all. And I was like, we got to get on Thanksgiving right now. Let's do this. Thanks. So here's the deal.
I would have been furious. For Ray, this was a good find.
At the end of this episode, no one thought that was coming, but here we are. And really quick, people have been asking, and it's been a few weeks since I brought it up. It's been a few weeks since I brought it up, but the people ask about the Funkin' Wagonals magazine story, and I feel like I should tell it before what's that, Chan? We're out of time. Yeah, we're out of time.
It's been too,
guys,
it's
we'll
been
get to the Funkin' Wagonals story next week. I promise. Tune in then.
Are you
we're
expecting
out of
me
time,
to
everybody.
Stop?
Unfortunately, I could tell
this
the story,
what we're hoping.
But Gina's got an
important this is what we're hoping
writing
viewers
about
will tune
the Marvels
in for.
To do. She's got us on a timer, and I'm looking at the clock, and we just don't have time for that story.
It's not like we
Loki
have
Loki finale.
Oh, it's not like we have tape that we're going to run out of. This is digital,
now
man.
We're out twice.
We could keep going. Oof.
Tough break, everybody.
We're alone and there's nobody home. It's nice to be able to count on a friend like Pooh Bear. We need a Pooh Bear. Wherever you go, oh, won't you take me, please, Pooh Bear? I gotta be there. It's me and it's you, my silly old Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. I didn't set this right. Which point is
now
he,
who's the Tigger?
Wow.
Whoa, Gina. No.
Wow, Gina.
No, Gina.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, just because you don't use the hard R doesn't mean that you're allowed to call me that.
Wow. Canceled. I'm glad the strike's over, so Gina can now never work again.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. Or, I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.